has just been exceptional this morning. I tell you, it sure has stirred my heart. I hope it has yours. And you know, singing is good, and I'm for good singing. I love it. I love good singing. But preaching is what changes hearts.
Amen.
The Word of God. And so the music, as it were, is like the appetizer that kind of prepares and gets you excited about what's getting ready to happen. The meal, you know, the main course, the meat on the table, you know. Those are the kind of things. That's what it's doing. And so I hope that you've enjoyed that. I hope God's used that to speak to your heart. And so we want to go hear something from the Word this morning. All right? Matthew chapter number 24. If y'all haven't noticed or not, and I don't know that this it would be unusual or anything if I said this, but I'm about as nervous as a cat in a rocking chair factory. Okay? You know, just not sure what's going to happen at any moment. All right? Did want to remember and remind you folks to pray for the Bryant family. Brother Randy, his dad had passed away, and the funeral was yesterday, and just had a great service there and honored him and his dad there. And I'll tell you, that sure was a blessing to get to know a little bit about your dad, and seemed to be a good godly man that loved the Lord and wanted to serve God, and we're thankful for that. All right, Matthew chapter number 24. If I could title the message this morning, I would title it The Days of Noah. And I hope you'll hold your Bible open, because we're going to turn to three different passages of Scripture before we settle in down in the book of Genesis. All right? Matthew chapter number 24, we'll begin reading in verse number 36. The Bible says, and I read this verse here just for reference to help you understand something, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, I just want to remind you and help you to understand, this is not what we are looking for. We are looking for the rapture. The next great event, the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar, as far as we're concerned, is the rapture of the church. And one day the Bible tells us over in 1 Thessalonians that He's going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of archangel. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to be with Him, to meet Him in the air, and to be with Him forever." That's what we're looking for. That's what we're longing for that day. But this passage of Scripture tells us that there's coming a day. There's going to come a day when people are going about their business, their everyday business. They're just going about their normal activities as if nothing was happening. As if this thing about God coming back or God's judgment, people are just going to be going along their everyday, normal day of life, and they're not going to pay any attention to the fact that Jesus is coming back, or the fact that God is going to send His judgment and all of those that do not know Him as Savior are going to be swept away. They're going to be taken in judgment. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, that is a solemn reminder to us as Christians. It's a reminder that, listen, we need to be busy about God's Word. We need to be busy telling folks, listen, the Lord is coming. There's coming a day of judgment, and you better be prepared. You better be ready. As Amos of old said, prepare to meet thy God. All right? But it also is a warning to the lost that time is short, and we don't know when the Lord's going to come back. You see, I read that verse 36 there on purpose. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." Nobody knows. Nobody knows when the Lord is going to come back. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. We don't know. And nobody else does either. So what does that tell us? If we don't know when He's coming back, it warns us we better be ready now. You better be ready now. You do not know you'll ever have another opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right, turn over to Romans, the book of Romans, if you would. We want to read over here in the book of Romans the progression of man that's left to himself. Man. I tell you, man left to himself is headed for destruction. That's just all you can say. Here in this passage of Scripture, God tells us and God gives us the progression of man. Man that has no regard for God whatsoever. All right? Romans chapter 1, we'll begin reading verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in righteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now let me just stop here for just a minute and help you to see something. I want you to understand, this is very important. The Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. and everybody that's ever been born, everybody has in their heart a God consciousness. In other words, everybody from the creation of the world is what he says, everybody knows that there is a God. They don't know God personally, but they know that there is a God. They cannot get away from that fact. Why? Because Jesus said, or the Bible tells us here, that he says that it has been revealed to them. Everybody. In other words, everybody knows this. It has been revealed to them from the creation of the world. It is clearly seen and it is understood. Do you see that right there in the passage? Clearly seen and it's understood. And the Bible says because of that, because everybody knows there is a God, they are without excuse. So what does that tell? What does that tell us? What does that say to us? That tells us that anybody and everybody that stands before God, they will have no excuse to offer God of why they did not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. One day the Bible says that we'll all stand before God. We're all going to give an account of our life. Those that are lost, they will stand before God, and God will give an account of their life, and He will. The Bible says He will judge them out of the books. They'll stand before Him at the great white throne judgment, and I'm not sure exactly how everything is going to fall out there, how it looks, or what they're going to say, or what will they be able to say, but one thing they will not be able to say, God, I didn't know. God, I didn't have a chance. God, I never heard. God, I didn't know. You didn't. It's not fair. You can't. God says, no, you are without excuse. You're without excuse. Now, folks, I'm gonna tell you, that ought to be a wake-up call. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or there's some doubt in your mind. I mean, there's a doubt, there's a hesitation in your mind that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Folks, listen, you ought to wake up. You ought to sit up on your seat and say, listen, I need to hear what's being said here today. Boy, my eternal destiny hangs in the balance here. I need to know. I need to understand. Because I sure do not want to die and go to hell. All right, read on with me. Verse 21, because that, when they knew God, in other words, here they are, they knew God, they knew who He was, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, because of that, because of what we just read there, what they did, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So in other words, God says, listen, you've taken the next step. You've moved on. And now God says, because of that, I'm going to give you up. I'm giving you up. In other words, God says, okay, you don't want me. You don't want me to intervene in your life. God says, okay, you're taking the next step. You're going beyond. You're going beyond here. And God says, I'm giving you up to the next phase here. But wait a minute, there's more. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God? All right, so there were those that changed the glory of God, and now they're changing the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the Creator, the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, because of what we just read, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is natural. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Here it is. This is the final step. In other words, they're trying to put God, the very thoughts of God, out of their mind. They do not want to think about God. They don't want God to enter into their mind of whatsoever, their life. They want God completely out of their life. And God says, okay, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Remember that phrase, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, incapable, unmerciful. And so here he's describing these people that God has given over to a reprobate mind. Now I believe what he's describing here in this last part is what exactly it was back in the days of Noah. They had so distanced themselves from God. They did not want God in their knowledge whatsoever. They wanted to do any and everything they wanted to do. And folks, listen, when that happened, you know what? God says, listen, I'm not going to make you come to me. I'm not going to make you love me. I'm not going to make you accept me as your Savior. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a point where God says, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to leave you alone. You wanted to be left alone? I'm going to leave you alone. And this is where it takes you. Man left to himself, apart from God, there's no telling what man will do or where he will wind up. Let's go back to Genesis chapter number 6 now. Genesis chapter 6, and we want to see some things here and hopefully learn some things that will speak to our hearts to help us. Here we find, and we could say it like this, as it was, so shall it be. You know, we just read, I believe we've read it's almost like opening up the newspaper of our world today. Some of the most wicked and vile things that a man could imagine today is front page news. I believe, and I really believe this, and in one way I'm thankful. We live in a rural community in the South. Thank God for the South. At this point I'm not saying anything bad about the Northern people. I'm not trying to cast off on that at all. But I'm just saying there are more churches. There is I believe probably more saved people, and I'm not trying to cast off. I know I do. I kid a lot about Northern people, and I'm not trying to do that now. But I believe because we're in the Bible Belt, and there's more churches. I believe God has worked greater in the South, in this area, the Bible Belt, the buckle of the Bible Belt, and I believe that we are somewhat isolated from the real world. I believe. I believe that we really don't know what goes on in this world. The wickedness is, I believe if we knew what really went on, I honestly don't know what it would do. I don't know how it would affect us. I tell you, the world is more wicked than we can imagine. I just don't believe we have a really understanding of how bad this world is, how close to God's judgment we are. We're kind of shielded here. We're kind of isolated, as it were, because of where we were born, where we were raised, in this kind of area. If you're from this area, and by the way, I myself personally, I'm thankful for that. Thank God for that. I'm thankful that I don't have to, know some of those things. But folks, can I tell you that in Noah's day, it had got to the place to where God was getting ready to say, you know what? It's just so bad. Sin is so rampant. God says judgment has to come. Judgment has to come. I really feel that we are close to that. Now, am I saying, are we just like it was in the days of Noah? I'm not saying that, even though I believe, there's a lot of similarities. There sure are a lot of similarities there. Am I saying that judgment is coming in the next week or so? No, I'm not saying that at all, because the Bible says nobody knows when he's coming. I don't have a clue. I'm not trying to set a date or anything. But what I am saying is, listen, if this was the way it was back in Noah's day, and we know how it is in our day, and God says it's enough and I'm going to have to judge this world, then folks, can I just tell you that if we can't see the similarities in that, then we have the blinders on. We're not thinking straight. We're not thinking straight. Folks, let me just tell you, I believe we're in those last days. And we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that. All right? Genesis chapter number 6. Let's begin reading verse number 3. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But the Bible says in verse number 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Listen, if you don't see anything else, you remember as a Christian that in this day, probably one of the most wicked days that this earth has ever seen, here was a man and his family, Noah especially, but Noah walked with God in the most wicked, one of the most wicked times in all the world. Folks, we have no excuse when we say that, we can't live for God today. I'm the only one on my job that's a Christian. Well, Noah was the only one on the earth. And the Bible says that he walked with God. He found grace in the sight of God. Folks, listen. No matter how bad the times are, we can live for God. And we should live for God. There should be no excuse for that whatsoever. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all the earth, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And then he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. All right. And let's bow for prayer if we could. And let's ask the Lord just to let the Word of God speak to our hearts here this morning if we could. Now, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, again, Lord, it's my desire that, Lord, you would use this message to speak to each and every heart. Lord, you know the hearts of the men and women out here this morning. Lord, I don't know their hearts. All I can see is the outside. But, Lord, you know their heart. And you see, Lord, who they are, who they really are. And I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to each and every heart here this morning. Lord, help us as Christians to live for you. Lord, live for you, even though it is a wicked day. And, Lord, there's ungodly things that we have to deal with and put up with. Lord, we can still serve you. We can still live for you no matter what. And, Lord, especially if there's someone here this morning that's lost and need to be saved, that you would speak to their heart, Lord. Show them their need of salvation before it's too late. And we sure will thank you for what you do now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to see is that God saw what was taking place here on this earth. You know, many times we think in our hearts that God really doesn't know what's going on this earth. But can I remind you, God is omniscient. He knows everything. God doesn't have to come down here and stand on the street corner and look and say, okay, I saw that. No, God knows everything that goes on in this world. God, the Bible says that God saw. And here's what I believe he's saying. God saw that men are sinners. Men are sinners. Now, folks, can I just tell you, just so we help us understand here, that all of us in here this morning are sinners. We're sinners. Now, we didn't sin one day and become a sinner. The Bible tells us that we were born sinners. We're born sinners. And because we're sinners, then it's just natural for us to sin. Now, you know, if you go to the jail or if you go to the prison and preach, a lot of times if you go down, you know, to on the streets and you're preaching, most of the time when you talk to people, most people that are not church attenders or not in church or not, you know, what we would call good morally people, most of those people are just as honest as they can be about it. Most time, if you go to the jail and you talk to somebody and say, you know what, we're all sinners, most of the time they're nodding their head and they're agreeing with you. If you say, I'm sure I don't have to tell you what sin is, they would say, you're right, you don't have to tell me what sin is. I wouldn't. And then you might say, well, I'm probably don't have to convince you that you're a sinner, do I? And they most of the time will say, no, you don't have to convince me I'm a sinner. They realize it. But you know what I find? That, you know, there's people that sit in churches like Calvary Baptist Church, and they sit there and they have a suit and tie on, or they're dressed up real nice. And you know what? They're just as much a sinner as the guy or the lady that's in jail. They're just as lost as the person that's not in church. So, folks, just because you're sitting in a church doesn't mean that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Just because your mom and dad were saved, just because your mom and dad were church, whatever, doesn't mean that you're saved. You see, folks, men are sinners. We're all sinners, and we're born that way. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. We're all sinners. We all have to be saved. Nobody can get saved for anybody else. Folks, listen, it is a serious matter to think about and understand that, folks, if you do not trust Christ as your Savior, then you're going to die in your sins and to face the judgment of God. Look at what the Bible says here. When he talks about how sin had covered this earth. Look down in verse number 5. The Bible says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination. Now, in my Bible, I have a reference Bible, and it's got a little note over here, and I'm going to read that note for you for this word imagination. It means it says, or the whole imagination. The Hebrew word signifies not only the imagination, but also the purposes and desires. You know, I wrote out in my Bible here That word for every imagination means without exception. Every means without exception. All right? Of the thoughts of his heart was only. The word only there, beside of only, I wrote without mixture. And then the word continually means without intermission. So you know what was going on during this time? That man had so corrupted himself, he had so turned his back on God, that every thought of every day, of every minute, was nothing but evil all the time. Every thought he thought was an evil thought. Every thought he thought. You remember that phrase that we read over there in Romans where it talked about that they thought up, they imagined things that were evil. If sin was not bad enough, they had to think up things to be more evil. And I'll tell you, it's so amazing that when you think to yourself, it couldn't get any worse. Boy, I've heard it all. That you turn on the news or you read the newspaper and you think, how in the world could they have gotten any worse? And now it's gotten worse. I tell you, folks, the world is headed away from God. You see, man left to himself without God is going to continuously get worse and worse. But I want you to see the second thing. Not only are men sinners, but sin's deadly. God takes notice of sin. Now, folks, that's important for you to understand. That's important for you to see that. God sees us. God knows what we're doing. God knows who we really are. The Bible says in verse number 5, God saw. Look in verse number 12. The Bible says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. In other words, God is searching. He is looking at this world. He is looking at our thoughts, our mind, our hearts. He's looking at everything about us, and he sees us for who we are. Folks, you can't hide that. You can't get away from that. God takes notice of our sins. And listen, I want you to look in verse number 3, and the Bible says that here's what the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In other words, God says there's going to come a time that I'm going to leave you alone. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you that when he gets to that point, I believe you're beyond being saved. When God says it's enough, when God leaves you alone, you're not going to come to God. That's what I believe. I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that. When God says it's enough, He's going to leave you alone. When you reject Him time after time after time, God says, okay, then I'm not going to bother you no more. Go on your way. And then you know what's in store for you? Only more wickedness, more sin, more sorrow that goes with that. God takes notice of your sin. The time of God's grace is limited. And then, folks, can I tell you, and we understand, I hope we understand this, God judges sin. God judges it. In our passage right here, God said, this is so bad, this is so severe, God says that everybody is going to have to face the judgment of God. Do you know that there's going to be another time like that too? And we read about that, to when God is going to say for the second time. We read about it. God said for the second time, as it was in the days of Noah. It's going to be like that again. And the world is going to get so bad, and the world is going to get so wicked, that God's going to say, enough's enough. Judgment's coming. And everybody, again, will face God's judgment. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, if it happened this first time, mark it down, it's going to happen again. Now, you can't help but understand, you can't help but see that, folks, we're headed toward that. If we're not already there, we're headed toward it just as fast as we can go. Folks, this world is headed for destruction. Sin is deadly. God is going to judge sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, every one of us, like I said, we're sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, what does that say? Romans 5, 12. Just as soon as I'm going to say that. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Death. Death is the judgment for sin. Death means being separated from God forever. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Folks, can I tell you, God is going to judge sin. God would send a flood to destroy all people on the earth. You know, I was reading this and I was thinking about this passage of scripture right here. You know, I've said this before, maybe you've thought this before, that I've said that God said he was going to send rain to destroy this world. But then, you know, he didn't say that at all. God didn't say I was going to send rain. God said, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to send a flood. And it's going to cover this world, and all men are going to perish. All men are going to perish. They're going to face the judgment of God. But folks, now if we left it right there, it would be a sad message. Boy, it wouldn't be good news at all. You know, the Bible tells us that the gospel means, the literal meaning of gospel is good news. Good news. The good news is Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He arose again the third day. And all who put their faith and trust in him can be saved and be saved from God's judgment. The Bible tells us here that Noah found grace. Noah found grace. What does grace mean? Well, grace means we get something good that we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be saved. Noah didn't deserve to be saved, but yet God in his mercy gave Noah grace. Noah found grace. When we are at our worst, God is at his best. Amen. Even in the worst of times, God says, I still love you. Matter of fact, God says, I love you even though you don't love me. I love you in spite of who you are and what you've done. God says, I love you. Noah walked with God and he found mercy. Man saw wickedness and was destroyed. Listen, man got exactly what he deserved. Man got exactly what he wanted. He wanted wickedness, and he went after it with all of his heart. You know, I'm thankful that even as I think about myself, I think about the road that I was going down. I think about the road that I was traveling. I was raised in church. I knew what it meant to be saved. I knew what the Bible said about being saved, and on we could go. But you know, when I got old enough to get out on my own, I did exactly what I wanted to do. I went after exactly what I wanted, and you know what? God gave me exactly what I wanted. I wanted that life, and God said, "Go ahead and do it. That's what you want to do." But you know what? Even during that time, even in spite of what I was doing, God set some things up in front of me. God set some roadblocks up. God set some barriers up there to make me see and help me see that the road I was on was a dangerous road. The road I was on led to destruction. And you know, the same thing is true in Noah's day. You know, God set up some barriers, set up some roadblocks here for these people to see that they were going down the wrong road. You know, there was this thing of time. God said, and Noah preached, God gave 120 years. When God gave Noah this message, he gave these people 120 years of time. 120 years. And during this whole time, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And every day he would preach and he would tell the people, God's judgment is coming. What are we doing today? Preaching and telling people that God's judgment is coming. You know, God has given us time. He gave those people time, a specific amount of time, 120 years. But we don't know how much time God's going to give this generation or this generation that's going to face this other destruction. But can I tell you that for 120 years, they heard the preaching that judgment was coming. You know, I'm sure that Noah got discouraged, you know, because there's nobody else. No, he didn't get anybody else to follow him. Nobody else came with him. But that was not his job, to get people to come with him. His job was to tell them. His job was to warn them. And he did that. How many of you have ever been around a construction site and you've heard men out there, like they're building a building, you know, all the noise it makes, you know, they're building, they're hitting. Of course, they don't use hammers anymore. They use these nail guns. But back in the good old days, you know, when they had hammers and stuff, you know, you could hear, you could be around it and you could hear these hammers hitting, you know, people hitting on the roof, you know, putting on shingles and all those things. And you heard those things, and it kind of just echoes out all over, all that sound. Do you know, I believe that was a barrier. People heard that noise going on. People heard them hammering every day. They heard the saws, them sawing the wood. And they heard all these, they heard all this commotion and all this noise was going on. What was it saying to them? Hey, something's going on. Hey, there's a boat being built here. There's an ark being built. And Noah said, or this man said, when it's finished, judgment is coming. Every time they went out and they heard those hammers hitting those nails or hitting those pegs and that wood, and they kept hearing that boat being built, they had to think to themselves, I wonder if this is true. Boy, it don't make any sense. There's no water around here. There's nothing around here. Man, look at this crazy boat, 100 and some between 450 feet to 500 feet long, 75 foot wide, you know, 50 foot tall. I mean, it had to be huge. It had to be as big as this church or bigger. And they see this thing, and it just keeps getting. They just keep building, keep working on it. And he keeps saying, "Judgment's coming, judgment's coming." But you know, it was up to them to make a decision. It was in their, the ball was in their court. They're the ones that's going to have to respond to it. Noah is telling them, listen, it's coming. It's coming. God set up road barriers. Time. Time was a great factor there. Not only time, but a preacher of righteousness. And we mentioned that. And we talked about that. He preached and he told them that judgment was coming. Listen, Noah was a good, godly man. He had a good reputation. I believe when people looked at him, they said, that's a man of God right there. I believe when they looked at him, they didn't doubt that this man believed what he was saying. He was sincere. I believe they believed it with all their heart. They didn't understand it. Now, and by the way, they didn't want nothing to do with it, but I believe they believed old Noah. Believe what he was talking about. You know, not only that, but there was a witness there, Noah's family. Noah's family got on that ark with him. There were some people that followed him, Noah's family. And then I think this is the greatest barrier of all, that this ark was a picture of Christ. It was a picture of safety and salvation. You see, when they looked at that ark, Noah told them, listen, if you get on the ark, you're going to be safe. The waters are coming. The flood is coming. This world is going to be covered with water. Get on the ark. There's safety there. There's food. Everything is provided. Just get on the ark. That's all you got to do. Safety, salvation, get on the ark. You know, I think those are the two great pictures, and I'm going to tell you, are the ark and the door. When those people saw that ark being built, there was one big door there. One big door. That was the only way you could get on that ark. Get on the ark. You know, I thought to myself, well, maybe some of these people thought, well, you know, I'm not that good of a carpenter, but I've got my tool belt and I got my hammer, I got my tape measure, my square, all this stuff. Surely they'll let me on the ark. I got all my tools, you know. I'm ready to get on the ark. But you know, didn't have a thing to do with that. Some of those people might have thought, well, I don't even have nothing to wear to get on the ark. Y'all ever felt like that when you go to church? Don't have nothing to wear, go to church? That was a joke. That was funny. You laugh right there. That's insert a laugh right there. They didn't have anything to wear to get on the ark. And I can't get on the ark because I don't have nothing to wear. I can't get on the ark because I don't have enough food, or I don't have enough money, or I don't even know who Noah is. I've never even met the man. I can't get on the ark because all these excuses. You remember what we said about excuses? They are without excuse. There is no excuse. God just said, get on the ark. Noah said, get on the ark. Get on the ark. And then I think about the picture of the door. And you know, even Jesus Christ himself described himself as the door. The door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what an ark, something, you know, they have built an ark, a replica of an ark. What they think it looks like, whether it looks like that or not, I don't know. By the way, nobody else does either. There was no pictures. So they built what they thought it looked like. Maybe it looked like it, maybe it didn't. I don't know. And I don't know what it would be like to get on the ark, but I tell you something I do know. I know what it means to go through a door. Has anybody ever been through a door? Now, I'm just waiting to see who's going to be honest with me, because everybody went through a door this morning, okay? If you came in here, you went through a door. All right? So you walk up to the door, you reach out, and you pull it, and it opens. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty easy. Nobody has to have a lesson on how to open a door. You don't have to go to school and take these lessons and take these classes to open a door. Everybody knows how to open the door. Jesus says, I'm the door. If you'll open the door, come on in. It's as simple as that. Listen, folks, listen. I think two of the greatest pictures of Jesus Christ are shown right here. And those people saw it, and they had it in front of them, bigger than life. And you know what the reality of it is, that every one of these people saw it. No doubt they heard the message. They knew what was being said. They knew what was going on. And you know what? They didn't have an excuse. And they didn't get on the ark. They didn't go. They didn't go through the door. They didn't get on the ark. And because of that decision, not only did they perish, but their families perished with them. Everybody perished except eight people. Eight people out of this whole wide world. Now, you know, we don't know how many people there were on this earth, but there was not just hundreds of people. There were millions of people on the earth at that time. Millions of people. People lived for, they would live for hundreds of years. And they had, you know, a lot of children. A lot of people on the earth. Now, I don't say that to be mean or anything, but folks, can I tell you, those people made a decision that day, or for 120 days or however long, that they would not get on the ark. And because of that, they died in their sins and faced God's judgment. Folks, can I tell you, the same truth is being shown to you here this morning. The ark is open, and the ark is ready. The door's open. All you got to do is come in. You see, Jesus Christ is the ark. Jesus Christ is the door. Just come in. Accept Him as your Savior. Turn to Him. Realize that He died for you on the cross. He'll take you just like you are. You don't have to do anything except by faith believe Him and come to Him. If you'll do that, He'll take you just like you are. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?